Let's take our Bible and let's go to Psalm 23. Psalm number 23. We're going to finish up Psalm 23 this morning, and we've enjoyed our study so much. I have of this Psalm. Psalm 23, verse 1. Will you say the verse with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, many people assume that because I'm a pastor, and they assume that because my brother, who many of you know is a pastor of a church in Missouri, and then I have another older brother who lives in Melbourne, Florida, who's very active and involved in his church, who has a full-time secular job but does preach a lot when given opportunities at different places. And because of, you know, my three brothers and us preaching the way that we do, many assume that I came from a Christian home, and that many people even think that my dad was a preacher, that he was a pastor. And nothing could be further from the truth. I actually don't know of anybody on either side of my family that has ever been a preacher. Anyone from my mom's side or my dad's side before my generation, I don't know of anyone on either family that was a preacher or a pastor. And I don't even know of anyone on either side of my family that was a Bible, real Bible-believing Christian. I don't know of one on either side. I was raised in a home that was a good home. My mom and dad loved me, and I knew they loved me. They spent time with me and provided for me. But we were just kind of your average middle-class home that we really didn't, the Lord really wasn't part of our family. We would go to a social club type of church. We would try to go once a week on Sunday morning, and we would go mainly because that was the thing to do in our little community, you know, and you went to church, and I never heard the gospel of Christ, never heard the Word of God taught. I couldn't tell you one verse of the Bible as a teenager, didn't know one verse. We went to church a little bit to kind of soothe our conscience, but church and the Lord were a very, very just microscopic part of our life. I mean, just really an afterthought. And it was not anything that was part of our family, part of our home, part of our life. The Bible, you know, I don't ever remember anyone ever reading the Bible in our home. And so that's the way I was raised. And my brother, Steve, when he was in college, he had a lot of issues, a lot of problems. He'd been in a lot of trouble. And he was in college, and he got saved. He trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, went to an evangelistic meeting they were having for a college and career on a Saturday night. And he went there and he got saved. And he came home and he woke up my mom and dad in the middle of the night and told them that he got saved. And of course, they're like, okay, good, honey, go back to sleep now. You know, I mean, they didn't have any clue what that meant. They just thought it was another one of his fads that he's going through, you know. And then I began to see as a teenager some radical changes in my brother's life. I saw him literally transform himself. He was transformed before my very eyes. And it really impacted me. And I began to come under conviction. And I realized that I needed Christ in my life. And that I was a sinner. And I got saved as a teenager. And you know, my life as a teenager, I look back now and I can see that my life was really heading down the wrong road. I was heading down the wrong path. And I cannot imagine what my life would be like apart from the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. I know the direction my life was heading, and I'll be honest with you, I shudder at the thought of where I might be today if I did not have Christ in my heart and in my life. I can guarantee you, you wouldn't be looking at me right now if I didn't have Christ. I wouldn't be looking at you. I wouldn't be up here if it wasn't for that. After knowing Jesus Christ for a number of years now, I guess it's getting close to 30 years now that I've known the Lord, I can tell you something this morning without reservation. And some of you already know this, but some of you may not. I can tell you something without reservation. Life with the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, is a life like no other. And that's what David's trying to get across in Psalm 23. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he proceeds throughout the psalm, as we've looked at it, to describe what life with the Good Shepherd's all about. Now, who was it in the Bible, little trivia question, who in the Bible said, I am the Good Shepherd, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Who said that? Jesus Christ said that. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one that Psalm 23 is talking about. I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. And that's exactly what he did. Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross for our sins so that we could come into his family and be part of his sheepfold. And Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could have a way out of Satan's family and a way into his family. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could get off the wrong road that we were on and get on the right road. What does it mean to belong to the good shepherd, Jesus Christ? Once again, I want to take a look at Psalm 23, and I want to look at verses 5 and 6 this morning and finish up the psalm. And what does it mean to belong to the good shepherd? Number one in your handout, first of all, number one, it means a table of blessing. It means a table of blessing. If you look down at verse 5, what does David say here? He's talking now to the shepherd directly. We saw that in verse 4. He begins talking to the shepherd. And in verse 5, he says, thou, that is the shepherd, thou preparest a what? Table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, it's not going to be long, and it's going to be Thanksgiving. Can you believe that? It's going to be Thanksgiving next month. And, you know, as you look at the table, and you see the turkey and the dressing and all the trimmings, you look at that and you think, wow, what a table of blessing. Here in verse 5, David talks about a table being prepared by the shepherd. Now, that's interesting because a literal shepherd of sheep always would go ahead of the sheep, and he would prepare the tableland of pasture for the sheep to graze in. Typically, what he would do is the shepherd would make a couple survey trips up into the mountain region, and there he would prepare that mountain tableland. He would go and he'd take salt and minerals, and he'd put it in the soil. He also would go ahead of the sheep before they got there, and the shepherd would pluck out all the poisonous weeds that may be present there in the pasture so that the didn't hurt the sheep. And so what he would do is he would spend days preparing the tableland, preparing the pasture so that the sheep could then come in and could enjoy the blessings of that green pasture. In your handout, it says, did you know that Christ, our good shepherd, went before us to prepare a table of blessing for us? He's the good shepherd, and he prepares that table for us. You say, what does that mean, Pastor Dan? Here's what it means. It means that Christ left the glories of heaven, and he came to this sin-cursed earth. He entered fully and completely into the life of mankind. Hebrews 4:15 says that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. In your handout, it says that Christ encountered our sorrow and our suffering, and then he died our death on the cross. He died our death on the cross. I like what Hebrews 2:9 says, where it says there at the end of the verse that Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, he tasted death for every man. You say, why did he do that? He was preparing the tableland of blessing for us. I want you to keep your bookmarker here, and I want you to find the New Testament book of Galatians, chapter number 3. Galatians, if you could, find that. 1 Corinthians, you got Romans, and 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. This is interesting. Christ became a curse for us on the cross so that we could have the blessings. He became a curse so that we could have the blessings of life and righteousness. Look at Galatians 3:13. Look at it with me, Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why did he do that? Look at the next verse. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, wait a minute. What was the blessing of Abraham? Look down at verse number 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law, now look at this, given, which could have given What's the first thing there? Life. Verily, what's the next thing? Righteousness should have been by the law. He said, you know what? If there was a law that could have been given, that could have given you life, I'm talking about eternal life, divine life, and given you righteousness before God, then it would have been given. You know what? The bottom line is it doesn't matter what the law was. You and I could not keep the law. We cannot keep the commandments of God. Every one of us have sinned. Every one of us have failed. Every one of us have come up short. None of us can keep the law. The law condemns us. The law says, Dan Proctor, you're guilty. You're a sinner. You deserve death. But I want you to look at verse 22 and notice that the blessings of life and righteousness can come to me. Why? Verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. Okay? That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that what? Believe. Look down at verse 26. It says, for ye are all the children of God by being baptized. Is that what it says? For ye are all the children of God by joining the Baptist church, right? No, not hardly. For ye are all the children of God, you say, get it right, Pastor. By what? Faith in Christ Jesus. How do I get life and how do I get righteousness? I get it by what? I get it by faith in Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad He went ahead of us and prepared the tableland, a blessing for us? It's through His cross work that I have been raised up and I've been made to sit in heavenly places. I've received all spiritual blessings. I love at the bottom of your handout there, Ephesians 1:3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Say that with me. Who hath what? Blessed us. Now, is that present or past tense? Is that something He's going to do or something He's already done? He's already done it. He said He's blessed us with some spiritual blessings. Is that what it says? No, it says He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And underline those last two words, because that's how you got them. You want to know how you got all those spiritual blessings? I'll tell you how you got them. It's because somebody named Jesus Christ went before you and He prepared the tableland of blessing for you and I. We got them in Christ. The good shepherd went before us and prepared a table. Whew, man, I'm glad for that. According to these verses we just read, am I waiting to get those blessings or do I already have them as a present possession? I already have them. I have them as a present possession. Do you know what that means? This gets good right here. Keep your bookmarker in Galatians, okay? And flip back to Psalm 23, because we're going to go back there to Galatians. So don't lose your place. Psalm 23, verse 5. This is really awesome right here. Thou, verse 5 again, Psalm 23, 5. Thou preparest a table before me. So here's this table of blessing for this table, this wonderful pasture land of blessing. And He says, you prepare this table before me. But what does He do it? He does it in the presence of who? Mine enemies. Now this gets good. God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do you know what that means? That means I have received the table of blessings in the presence of mine enemies. Satan and the demons of hell. Some people think Satan's in hell. Is Satan in hell right now? No, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, he is as a roaring lion, he's roaming the earth, seeking whom he may devour. Satan and the demons of hell are loose on the earth. That means that my good shepherd has already blessed me. He's prepared the table of blessing for me in right smack dab in the presence of mine enemies. You see, the blessings that I have in Christ, it's not something that I'm going to get one day out there in eternity future when I'm in heaven and Satan's in the lake of fire. No, I have the table of blessing right now in the presence of mine enemies. Isn't that good stuff? Woo, man, if nobody else is excited, I am. I got it right now. Right now as a present possession in the presence of mine. And you know what's cool about it? Satan can roar and huff and puff and spit and spatter, but he can't do anything about it. Because I have those blessings in Christ. He can't do anything about it. I got the table land of blessing in the presence of mine enemies. Number two, what's it mean to belong to the Good Shepherd? Number two, it means an endless supply of power. An endless supply of power. You know, it's interesting when you study sheep. A lot of times, you know what happens to sheep? Sheep, many times, will get insects and they'll get flies buzzing all around them. And what happens is that these flies would torment the sheep. In fact, I was reading, by the way, you know, to kind of give you an idea of how irritating it can be to sheep, do you guys know what no-see-ums are? Oh, yeah, everybody said. Somebody listening to this that doesn't live in Florida may not know what those are, but boy, we know what no-see-ums are, don't we? No-see-ums are those little agitating things that they bite you. And what's so aggravating, you know, if it's a mosquito or a fly, you can swat at it and try to kill it. But what's the deal with no-see-ums? Can't see them. Yeah, so they bite you and they just, ooh, you, ooh, ugh, yeah. They get in your hair and, man, people think you're dancing, you know. And it's just, it's terrible. Hey, man, Brother Steve's like, I'm not doing that. Forget it. That's where I draw the line. I got off track. But these flies, what they do is they would land on the sheep's nose, and then what they would do is they would they'd lay eggs in there, and then it would get up in there in those nostrils, and then those eggs would hatch up in there. And what would happen, it would be so irritating to sheep that literally to try to get relief, they'll bang their head up against trees. They'll bang them up against rocks. And literally sometimes they'll kill themselves trying to get relief from these insects. Do you know what the shepherd would do though? At the first sign of these insects and these flies, the shepherd would come along and he would apply a special oil on the head of the sheep. And when he would put that oil on there, immediate relief would come to the sheep. It would be a transformation. They could finally rest. Now, what's the deal here in verse 5 where he says, "Thou anointest my head with oil"? Does that mean a little bit more to you now that you know how the sheep would get this? And he would apply that oil. "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." But what's the spiritual significance here? Okay? What's the spiritual significance? In your handout, I want you to get a statement. It says, in the Bible, oil is a picture of God's Holy Spirit. Oil is a picture of God's Spirit. To kind of prove that to you, Hebrews 1:9 says that the Father anointed Christ with the oil of gladness above his fellows. So the Father anointed Christ with the oil of gladness. What does that mean? Well, you got to cross-reference Scripture with Scripture. And when you cross-reference, you say, what did he anointed him with the oil of gladness? Well, what did he anoint him with? Look at the screen, and this will interpret Hebrews for you. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the what? There's the oil of gladness. He anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. Notice that word power. And so the Father anointed Christ with the oil of gladness. The psalmist said, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." In your handout, it says that when a person trusts Christ to save them, God immediately gives to that person His Holy Spirit to come and to dwell inside of them. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you His Spirit to come and live inside of you, friend. Look with me at the screen at 1 Corinthians. It says, what? He tells these believers, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of" who? "Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." So what does that mean? Okay, the Holy Spirit lives inside of me if I've put my faith in Christ. But what does that mean? Here's what it means in your handout. It means that He is there now, living inside of you daily. He is there daily, hourly, minutely, secondly. okay, to fill you with His power. He is there to fill you with His power, to provide supernatural strength to face the sometimes aggravating and the sometimes tormenting circumstances of life. Remember those flies would torment the sheep? Let me ask you something. Do the circumstances of life ever bug you? Let me put it this way. Do people ever bug you? God's Holy Spirit is the oil. Just like the shepherd would anoint that sheep, the Holy Spirit's that oil inside of you that when you yield to Him, He transforms your attitudes towards circumstances and towards people. And He allows you to deal with those things victoriously. You say, Pastor, how much of God's Spirit do I get when I get saved? Do I get part of the Holy Spirit? Well, let's look at this. Titus 3, 5, and 6. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration. And notice, He renews us when we get saved by the Holy Ghost. Look at the next verse. He says, which He shed on us. He shed the Holy Spirit on us. What's the next word? Abundantly. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The word shed is a great word. You know what it means? When He says He shed the Holy Spirit on us abundantly, that word shed means to pour forth, to gush out, to spill over. That's how much of the Holy Spirit you got when you got saved. You know what? You got all the Holy Spirit. When I think of spilling over, how many of you ever go to like to McDonald's or somewhere and you get an order of fries in the bag and then you get it and you go home and by the time you get home, it's half empty. Boy, that's aggravating, isn't it? You know what I like? I like the workers that fill that French fry container so full that, I don't know about you, but I like to, when I'm all done with my fries, I like to look for spillover in the bottom of the bag. How about you? I look for spillover in the bottom of the bag. And I like it when them fries are overflowing to where there's spillover, you know, in the bottom of the bag. Those are good, you know, at the end. You ever open up the bag for the spillover and there isn't any? That's depressing, isn't it? I'll tell you one thing I learned. Whenever you go to a coffee shop and you're going to buy coffee and they say, would you like room for cream? The answer is no. Because if you say yes, you know what they do? Leave it about half empty. You go over there to the counter to put some cream in it, and boy, that's aggravating, you know, when it's 3/4 full. Man, I want that thing running over. I want to go over there, and I want it spill it over, amen, with coffee. And that's the idea of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's given to you to where, like the psalmist says, my cup runneth over. He sheds it on you abundantly. You get all the Holy Spirit when you get saved. If you know the Good Shepherd today, guess what? You have the oil of His Spirit. You have the oil of His Spirit, and your cup runneth over. You have all that you'll ever need. Say, I just can't live the Christian life. You know what? You got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, friend. Well, I'm bitter at that person, and I just can't get over it. No, it's that you won't get over it. That's the right answer. You won't get over it. You got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you to help you overcome those things in life. If you're in Galatians, go back there real quick. Keep your bookmarker in Psalm 23 and go to the next book, Ephesians. Galatians and then Ephesians. Turn over to chapter 3. And Ephesians 3, there verse 5. I'm sorry, no, Ephesians 3:16. Ephesians 3:16. Look what the Bible says. It says that He would grant you, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His what? There's that oil of His Spirit. Notice He lives in your inner man. Look down at verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? You have an endless supply of power to be able to live the Christian life. You have God's Holy Spirit living inside of you. Number 3, the third thing in your handout, life with the Good Shepherd It means a position of acceptance. We've got that on the screen up here, a position of acceptance. Keep your bookmarker in Ephesians, but flip back there to Psalm 23. In this psalm, we have seen all the benefits enjoyed by the flock under the skilled and loving care of the shepherd. And I think verse 6 kind of sums it up in one statement. He's boasting of all these benefits. And then it's like he just cries out in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The sheep with such a shepherd knows that it's a privileged position. Listen, folks, when you go out there at work, when you go out there on the ball team, when you're out there in the world, we don't have to be ashamed of who we belong to. We ought to be like the psalmist. We ought to be proud of who our shepherd is. We ought to be proud of who our Savior is. We ought to go out and brag on Jesus to those around us. He's a great, good shepherd. Man alive, I tell you. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy." Man, I belong to Him. I belong to the good shepherd. If you know Jesus Christ today as your Savior and you belong to Him, you have a privileged position. In your handout, it says, what's your position? What is your position? Can anybody guess what the two blanks are? You are what? Thank you. You are in Christ. That's your position. You are in Christ if you're saved today, if you know the Lord. You say, what does that mean, Pastor Dan? Well, it means I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And right after he says that in Ephesians 1:3, then he's going to go through and he's going to show you what all those blessings are. And if you're there in Ephesians, you look at that real quick. Ephesians 3, I'm not going to read the whole thing. But Ephesians 1, verse 3. He says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So I have a position of acceptance. Verse 4, we've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Well, okay, but what does that mean? It means that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. It means that He predestinated us, that all those that are in Christ in this time of grace are going to be adopted. Okay, we have the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. You ought to underline that word accepted. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are accepted. You say, boy, they don't accept me at school. They don't accept me at college. I don't feel like my family accepts me. Hey, listen, you are accepted in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. You're not the same person you were. You've been redeemed. The forgiveness of sins. You say, oh, I did a lot of bad things in my life and I just always feel guilty about it. Jesus Christ gives you the complete and the total forgiveness of sins when you come to Him in faith. You don't have to let anybody beat you up over it. According to the riches of His what? His grace. I have a position of acceptance. Listen, because I'm in Christ, I am an object of His love, His mercy, His grace, and His goodness for all eternity. And number 4, what does it mean to belong to the Good Shepherd? It means a life that will last forever. Go back to Psalm 23 now and we'll finish the psalm. Psalm 23:6 says what? Okay, let's all read it together. Verse 6. Ready? Let's read together. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How long?
Forever.
Forever. You know what we see at the end of the psalm here? We see a sheep so satisfied, so contented with the care that it receives, so much at home with the shepherd that there's not one shred of a desire for change. He says, I'm just going to stay here in the house of the Lord forever. He says, not only is this marvelous shepherd my shepherd, but I get to be with Him forever. And in your handout, it says that when you come into Christ's sheepfold, He loves you so much that He's not letting you go. He's not letting you go, Mr. Sheep or Mrs. Sheep. He's not letting you go. Look at your handout, John 10. It says, "My sheep," Jesus said, "hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Would you say we're secure in Christ? Yeah. When you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He gives you the gift of eternal life. Is God going to take that gift back? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if this college student right here, Philip Thompson, can you imagine if it's Philip's birthday and my son, he went up there to celebrate your birthday. Remember that? Y'all went out and ate. And Clint, my son and him are good buddies. And Clint went all the way up to Jacksonville to celebrate his birthday with him. Can you imagine if Clint gave Philip $50 for his birthday? Okay, and he gives you $50 and you're like, "Whoa, Clint, that's really nice." Clint's like, "Hey, that's not it. That's not all. I also want to take you out to eat." And you're like, "Wow, that's great." Takes you to the nicest restaurant in town. And Clint and Philip are sitting there eating. And they get near the end of the meal. She brings the check. And Clint looks at Philip and says, "Could I have that $50 to pay for this bill?" He takes it back from Philip so he can pay for the bill. You know what? That wouldn't be very nice, would it? What do you think it'd be like for God to give you the gift of eternal life and then take it back? That doesn't sound like God to me, does it, you? God gives you the gift of eternal life, and how long do you have it for? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I said at the beginning of the message, there is no life like life with the Good Shepherd. I don't even want to think of what my life would be like without Christ. You know, as much as I look at myself sometimes and get frustrated with myself, and I look at myself and think, and I think, "Man, can't you get it right?" You know, and I look at myself sometimes and I get frustrated a little bit sometimes in my Christian walk. But as frustrated as I may get, you know what? I would hate to think of what I'd be like without Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And maybe you're here today and maybe your life has got kind of a mess. Maybe it's mixed up. I want to give you some of the best news. There's help. And there is a different life. There's a life of rest and peace and satisfaction, true contentment. But this life does not exist apart from the Good Shepherd. You got to come to Jesus in faith. You got to realize that, hey, Christ is the answer in my life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." You say, "But I'm messed up. Jesus doesn't want me." That's where you're wrong. He does want you. You see, He'll take you and bring you into His sheepfold, and He'll change your life. He'll transform you and change you, friend. He'll take you. It doesn't matter how beat up you feel. Doesn't matter how, you know, used or abused you may feel. He'll take you into His sheepfold, and He will make a difference in your life. And in fact, in your handout at the very bottom, it says He specializes in taking bruised and battered sheep and restoring them fully and completely. Life with the Good Shepherd. A life like no other.